Welcome back to this week's edition of the Rock and Roll Ghost Podcast. This week we are very pleased to have actor Garrett Dillahunt on the show. Garrett, you've been a favorite of mine for a very long time, actually. So this is a true pleasure to have you on the show.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. I'm honored.
Oh, I am. I probably first saw you in both The Assassination of Jesse James and No Country around the same time, but it was Raising Hope that was the one that really got me to be a huge fan of yours.
Oh, good. I'm happy to hear that. I enjoyed that experience as well. First of all, that year, 2007, was a good year for me with No Country and Jesse James and working with Roger Deakins twice in a row. That was thrill. But I loved Raising Hope so much that I produced my own show with Greg Garcia again that's about to be dropped this year called Sprung. So I think you'll like it as well if you liked Raising Hope.
Yeah, I saw that you were reunited with Martha Plimpton.
Yeah, she's on it too. She saved our bacon.
Well, that's great that you guys got along well enough that you're doing something else together, and all three of you, actually.
Yeah. I was thinking about it the other day. In fact, I wrote to her. She's, poor thing, she's working in the Canary Islands or something, you know. I never get those cool locations, it seems like. But, you know, I've done like 110 episodes of television with Greg, and just under 100 with Martha now. And I mean, that's like 30 some movies we've made together. I mean, it's a wonderful thing when you have people that you still want to hang out with and still want to work with after all that time. And they are two of them for me, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, your career has been interesting, and I do want to talk about Crawdads.
Talk about whatever you want.
But your career has been fascinating because you just kind of go all over the place. You can do comedy. You can do different sorts of comedy, like when you were on the Mindy Project. You weren't exactly the guy necessarily making the jokes all the time. You were kind of a straight guy in a lot of ways because you didn't want to put up with the buffoonery of what was going on in the clinic. And you've done things. I mean, one of my favorite things you've done was your series with Justified. Sorry, as Ty Walker. That was it.
Right. Good.
That was a really good role, and you got to work with Timothy Olyphant again.
Yeah, that was great. I really love Tim, and I'm happy they're. I guess they're coming back for some more jokes.
Yeah,
I did that when I was on hiatus from my show Hand of God on Amazon, and they would only allow me to do 6 episodes of it. It's weird. So, when you're a regular on one show, they get real skittish about you doing other things. I don't know why they still are worried about it in this kind of fractured audience world that we live in, but they are. They still behave as if they're making 22 episodes a season and getting 20 million viewers an episode. And we're all just trying to make a living out here. So they limited me to 6. But, you know, which was unfortunate because I died quicker than I think they wanted me to on that show. But I was grateful to have, you know, any time at all on it. It was a good one.
Yeah.
Great to be reunited with Tim.
Yeah, no, that's one of my absolutely top favorite shows of all time. I rewatched it at least once a year. So.
Oh, wow.
it never gets old. You talked about the new series. They're filming it in my backyard, actually. They're filming in Chicago.
Oh, are they?
They're Chicago for some reason is substituting for Detroit, which I figured Detroit must be cheaper to film in than we are, but whatever. you worked with Steve McQueen on 2 different movies.
That's right.
You know, one was 12 Years a Slave, which was this huge, you know, thing, Oscar, not, you know, Oscar wins and all that. And you had a larger role in Widows, which was filmed here as well. What did you like most about working with Steve?
He's an interesting cat. I don't know if you've seen any of his other things, but
The Hunger,
any of them. I think he just has a real unique eye. I think he kind of started as a photographer. You know, don't quote me on that necessarily. But I don't know if that's why, but it's almost feels like he's self-educated about filmmaking, which is interesting because he's not constrained by a lot of things that I think institutional training does.
Mm-hmm.
He's interested in odd things and different things and sort of, I don't know, breaking molds, but, you know, there's a richness to his work that I feel the same way I feel when I watch, I don't know, Coppola or those guys. It just feels, you know, the frame feels rich visually and the story's rich subtextually. You know, I think it's a real wonderful place. And, you know, he doesn't necessarily know what to say to actors, but he finds always the right thing that leads us, lets us feel free to do what we do. I really like him. I miss him. I miss that guy.
Yeah. And I know you're a big fan of Cormac McCarthy's work, and you've gotten to be in No Country and The Road, which is, The Road is a movie, it's up there with Schindler's List for movies I don't know if I could handle seeing a second time.
Yeah. I believe that he started writing that novel. He said there was he had just had a young son at an older age, I think. And there was a fire nearby. Like he saw it sort of cresting a ridge far away enough that he would probably be safe, but close enough that you get a little bit worried and wonder like, should I pack a go bag here? And I think he just started thinking about his ability to protect that child and other things. And regardless, he wrote that book that is quite harrowing. And I think one of the more realistic sort of apocalyptic stories out there, but yeah, it's pretty rough. And I, you know, given the events of these days, you know, the state of the world these days, you know, when I first read that book, I kind of wondered like, will people really devolve into these barbarians? And now I kind of feel like they absolutely would.
I sadly agree. But yeah, that one was a rough one to get through. Before we get into crawdads, I know the next thing you're doing, or the next thing is one of the next things that's coming up besides Sprung, you're in Andrew Dominik's Blonde. So you've worked with him, three times now? Because you're uncredited with Killing Them Softly. So you
own something with him? I was shooting Looper in New Orleans the same time that he was doing Killing Them Softly. And they called me up one day and were like, you know, you got an idea for this security cam footage, you know, would you do that with us? And I drove down on a day off and shot a scene, which they ultimately cut. That's what that was.
Yeah.
And Blonde is kind of a similar situation. You know, I'm not going to be the best representative for you to talk to about Blonde. I don't remember what I was doing, but I had read with potential Marilyns for Andrew for a few years. We're just friends. I really am a big fan of Andrew's. He's a real artist, I think. He's a little polarizing sometimes in the way he does things, but I just think he's a really talented writer, director, and adapter. I just read a thing coincidentally about Joyce Carol Oates, who saw a rough cut and was so happy about it and so blown away by it, impressed that a male director could have directed this thing. So I think it's going to be great, but I'm uncomfortable pretending I'm any significant part in that. He kind of put me in like, you know, like, hey, this will be a fun lark, you know, we'll sort of hide you in here in this little thing. And then I think they even had to cut that out for time, or most of it. So I'm an Easter egg in that movie, but I can't wait to see it. And the screen test with Anna was fucking fun. We had just worked together on Sergio, and he called and asked me what I thought of her, and I was like, I love her, she's amazing, you know, she's just one of those, for someone so beautiful, you know, she just engenders these real feelings of friendship, and I feel almost brotherly towards her and protective of her, and it was so fun to be there. I have some great shots of her just in the screen test, and when she came out of that makeup room, I was just floored.
Yeah.
I think people will be. She's great. She's a great actress.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, because he doesn't make a lot of films, but his films, Killing Them Softly is a movie I'll rewatch all the time too. And it's a movie I didn't initially like when I saw it in the theater, but I've grown to love it.
Yeah. It's not my favorite of his, but I still love it. You know, he set the bar pretty high with Chopper and Jesse James, and you know, he's a real artist, and I'm so impressed by people like him who can be so picky. Yeah. You know, I can't wait that long until, you know, the muse descends. You know, I get nervous about paying bills, and I think he would rather starve to death than do something he doesn't believe in.
You know, Yeah, he's kind of a classic filmmaker in that regard. I mean, there's not many with that kind of attitude anymore, you know.
Yeah, something.
I don't think there's many with that attitude in the world, quite frankly. We've become a very money over art kind of thing, you know.
I mean, to be fair, it's called show business. You know, it's not show art, but, you know, we had a dream when we started this, didn't we?
Yeah.
I certainly won't begrudge anyone choosing a, you know, sometimes you got to pay the bills.
So
you know, I've certainly chosen jobs that I didn't really love, but, you know, I needed the paycheck.
Yeah. Well, you know, you've just had this amazing career. And the last thing I wanted to touch on from your past is you're part of a legendary phenomenon with your role on Fear the Walking Dead. I mean, that universe is huge, and I'm actually, when I rewatched The Walking Dead, I joined a Facebook group for fans, right? And people, you know, when Fear the Walking Dead came back, like this season, I saw all the people talking about how they missed John Dory and how much they loved you and everything. So, you know, you're quite beloved in that community.
Well, it's a hell of a community, and, you know, I carry a little guilt about abandoning it, you know, but, you know, I love that character too. You know, I had a lot of hopes and plans for that character that just weren't in line with, you know, what I think the showrunners and creators' plans were, and it's their baby, it's not mine, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm very grateful to them for giving me John Dory and for letting me go when it was time. You know, I think if I was a younger man when I got that job, I might have stuck it out, you know, but it's a very hard job physically. A lot of respect to that cast and crew for sticking it out. And, you know, I mean, you're outside all the time in rough conditions, in uncomfortable shoes for 16 hours a day, you know, so it is a real labor of love that they offer to the fans, and the fans return that love tenfold. But I just thought, you know, I don't know if I can abuse my body for 4 more years and, you know, doing something that I'm not completely in love with, you know, that is frustrating me this much.
Yeah.
It's one of the trickiest experiences of my life because I love those guys. You know, I miss the people a lot.
Yeah.
You know, but I have to say that I'm happy as a clam. And I feel very fulfilled and calm and much healthier doing these other projects. And I never would have gotten to do them if they hadn't allowed me to. It was a great gift they gave me in saying, you go, you know, go do those things that are on your back burner there. And I wouldn't have sprung. I wouldn't have executive produced my own show, you know, which opened a whole new world for me. And I've made like 5 movies or something since then. And there's 2 or 3 things I can't even announce yet. You know, it's just, it's been a wonderful moment. And I will carry the memory of John Dory with me fondly for the rest of my life, for sure.
That's great. And you've kind of developed into a little bit of an action performer now. You did Army of the Dead and Ambulance, kind of, maybe not back to back, but they came out, you know, close to one another. How did that kind of, you know, feel? You were working with Zack Snyder and Michael Bay, two of the kings of action films.
Yeah.
You know, what was that whole experience like on both of those?
Well, I like it. I mean, I feel like I've been doing my own stunts for a long, long time. I mean, way back since Terminator or even Deadwood or, you know, I'm an athletic person, and I like combat sports, and, you know, I'm comfortable in a pretend fight, especially, you know, not knowing I'm not going to get actually in the face, at least not on purpose. So it feels like, and Fear the, you know, the Walking Dead universe is just nonstop action. So it didn't really feel like anything new. It was fun to experience those iconic guys, though. I wanted to experience those kind of big tentpole kind of experiences with those guys. And I think they actually went to the same school around the same time, a film school. And it's interesting that they're both so talented visually. And I had a great time. You know, Zach is chill and mellow. Michael Bay is not, you know. But they're both equally passionate about what they do and have real strong ideas visually about, you know, what they want, and then they achieve it. And, I would work with them again. I really would.
Yeah.
I don't know that they want to work with me, but I hope they do.
Yeah, I saw that Ambulance is on Peacock now, streaming, so I'm eager to check that out, because it surprisingly did not last very long in the theaters, and I was kind of shocked by that. I didn't know if it was going to be the biggest hit ever, but I thought it was going to be a little bit of a bigger smash than it ended up being.
Hey, your movie was a bomb.
Well, you know, everybody's, you know, not everything, you know, not everything works out, you know.
I don't know. I don't know why. It was one of his best reviewed films he's ever made.
Yeah.
I think it has a lot to do with, you know, because what was big in the theaters was children's movies, you know.
Yeah.
I think this is the kind of movie that a lot of people thought, like, I'll wait till it comes out and I'll watch it at home. You know,
we're still in a weird time with movies. I mean, Top Gun and Doctor Strange did good, but you know, there's no guarantee everything that comes out is gonna.
Absolutely, Top Gun was great, and I enjoyed seeing that in a movie theater. You know,
yeah.
Maybe that's the one that'll bring more people back. I don't know.
Yeah,
this was a low budget movie for Michael. I wish I had that budget. $40 million is a low budget flick.
Yeah,
I would take that, but you know, that's the world he operates in.
Yeah,
I think it's a fun ride. I think it's a real popcorn kind of thriller. I think there's some great acting in it, you know, and some amazing photography.
Yeah, definitely did look cool. So I'm eager to check that out. But all right, so I have limited time with you here. Where the Crawdads Sing? When did you get involved with this, and what attracted you to the film?
I don't remember when. I guess it was a little over a year ago we shot that. Yeah. I don't remember when, but I got a call to play Pa in it. So I'm in the flashback portion of the movie. There's a few timelines that sort of intertwine in this film. We shot it in New Orleans in the summer. It was pretty hot. And Olivia Newman is a great director for this, and she has a real strong vision for it that she fought very hard for. So I'm excited to see it myself and see how much she was allowed to put in there. It's a wonderful story, you know, based on a very, very popular book. So there's high expectations for this.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good cast. So I'm as excited to see it as you are.
Yeah, it definitely looks cool. I haven't read the book, but I'm once I found out about it, I was kind of like, well, that might be an interesting read, and everybody seems to love it. So
yeah, it's one of those. It's a love story. It's a murder mystery. It's a coming of age story. There's prejudice. There's economic prejudice. There's racism. You know, it deals with so many things at a very interesting time in the history of this country. It's interesting to see also how much hasn't changed. I don't know. There's a lot of talented young people in it. I didn't get to meet a lot of the cast because I'm in the ancient, you know, the 50s and 60s portion of the story. So I worked with young Kaya, and she was a peach. But it was fun driving a boat around and, you know, fighting in the swamp.
Yeah.
It was great.
What was your experience like, basically, from, I mean, you talked about it being very hot down there. I mean, New Orleans, I was actually in New Orleans in June last year. and it is something. That humidity is like a cloak around you.
Yeah, I changed my clothes a lot, that's for sure. And sometimes when we were in the boat, little Jojo, who played young Kaya, he was just so adorable. I'd try to keep her shaded with this umbrella between takes, but sometimes she'd get hot and she'd, to her credit, she'd say, I think I need a break. Pull over, cool her down, give her some cold water.
Yeah.
Keep going. But it's hot everywhere. Hotter and hotter everywhere earlier.
Yeah.
So I don't know where to go to escape it really anymore, except inside.
Yeah.
It's getting more and more dystopian all the time, isn't it?
You know, I think we're gonna escape the worst part of it. I don't know if that's how positive or negative that sounds. But like, you know, if my son had kids, you know, I kind of worry for them because,
yeah,
you know.
I don't have children. I have nephews that have a lot of god kids. And so I have children that are important to me in my life, obviously, but it must be something to be a parent in these days.
Yeah.
All the weird dangers that you and I never had to deal with when we were our kids.
Yeah. Yeah. My son was in school after Columbine, and those things, you know, those shooting things were just starting to become a thing. And it was something my ex-wife and I worried about, but God, I couldn't imagine sending my kids to school in this environment now.
Well, we took a depressing turn, didn't we?
Yeah, well, you know, we go into different areas sometimes. So let's go into something happy.
We're citizens of the world, you know.
So what do you like to do when you're in North Carolina now and you have a day off? What do you actually like to do when you have a day to yourself?
Well, it's tricky because it depends on the shooting schedule. If we're working nights, then here I am sleeping until 2 p.m., you know, or something.
Yeah.
I have a little break now in the schedule, so I'm going to go see my mom for a while. So cool. Today's just packing and stuff like that. But it's, you know, it's pretty here. You know, I go to the beach. You know, I go to the gym. I try the different restaurants around town. But it's getting really hot out. So I'm just trying not to get sunburned because, you know, you got to match what you did the day before.
Yeah.
You know, I see friends. You know, there's friends in this cast, so. But you know, it's also a good thing about getting a little older. You don't need that much. I need a good book. You know, I'm not a party guy. I never have been. I've never been drunk in my life. So that side is lost on me. But I also don't need much, which is a boon these days.
Yeah. Where did you grow up?
Well, I was born in the Bay Area in California.
Okay.
We moved around a lot. So I don't remember it. I had two brothers. We all were born in different states. My father was in the trucking industry, so we moved a lot.
Yeah.
But I consider home to be Eastern Washington, Washington State. We moved up there. It's an agricultural community where all your apples come from with that little Washington sticker on them. I worked in the orchards, you know, when I was a kid and when I was home for the summers in college. You know, that was my job, driving tractors and irrigation and stuff like that. And it's a good place to grow up. I liked having rivers to swim in and, you know, bridges to jump off of and stuff like that. You know, it was a good place to foster some dreams.
Yeah. It sounds like you were kind of a little bit of an adventurer as a kid.
I don't know about that. I mean, we just moved, you know, I didn't have any say in where we went, you know.
I meant in terms of when you settled in Washington, like, you know, the rivers and the jumping off of bridges and stuff like that.
I guess so. It's just kind of what you did. You know, that's how you entertained yourself. You know, there wasn't always a public pool that was open. You know, there wasn't always a ton to do. So we didn't have cell phones or video games to the preponderance we have them today. So you entertained yourself. You know, I ran a lot. I used to run 12 miles a day thinking it would build up my skinny legs. Just made him skinnier. And I'd ride my bike everywhere, and you know, it's funny, as I don't know how it was for you growing up, but you know, I started school a year young in California. I was in Concord, California when I started school. We moved to Washington by the time I was in third grade. So that it was from then on, I was in Washington. But, you know, you're miserable then. And you think, like, I'm smaller than everyone. I'm younger than everyone in my grade. You know, no girl will look at me. Whatever your preference is, you know, you can't get their attention.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then later you're like, I'm so glad it worked out that way. You know, I'm so glad that that wasn't the high point of my life, that it was the challenging part, and you persevered and you dreamed anyway, and you kept working. And it was a really wonderful place to grow up, and I still have friends from that, from those days. And, you know, I think you carry those things with you into adulthood. Childhood's powerful. Yeah. It really influences what you do as an adult. I know it influences me and my acting, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, that's great. That's great. Well, I think that's a good place to let you go on. We ended on a nicer note, a very, memory-based note in the thing. You know, that's
great. It was great talking to you, man. That was a nice.
Yeah, question. No, thank you. And I just, as a reminder, Where the Crawdads Sing is coming out in July to theaters, and Sprung is coming to Apple TV in the fall, correct?
It's coming to Amazon. It's on
Amazon. Sorry,
Amazon Freevee. They've rebranded. Oh. They've rebranded IMDb TV as Amazon Freevee, so it's free to everyone, not a pay service. You just, there's ads during it. It's kind of like Hulu in a way.
Okay.
It's one of the best things I've ever done. Looking forward to y'all seeing it, and Crawdads is going to be a smash. So come enjoy Daisy cool. Edgar Jones.
All right, great. Well, thank you very much, Garrett. It's truly a pleasure to have gotten to speak to you, and I hope everything goes well for you the rest of your time down in North Carolina, and
good luck
on everything else.
Best to you, and let's talk again sometime. All right.
All right, cool. Thanks.
All right.
All right. Bye.